All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Arquino, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check them out. Local folks doing local podcast. Having a great time. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is June 15th, 2021. Halfway through the month. I don't actually know how many days are in June, but 15 sounds like we're halfway through. How are we doing? How's your day? How's your morning going so far? I hope everything's well. I'm pretty excited. I actually went to my first meeting last night, and I don't know how long. It's been a hot minute, that's for damn sure. I have not done any Zoom meetings. I did go to one meeting in another little town down the road from us, and that was great, but that was pretty much right in the, it was definitely in the middle of the pandemic. But besides that one meeting, I haven't done anything. And, but I'm an alcoholic, right? I feel a little, I don't actually feel guilty. It is what it is. I personally enjoy a meeting in person. I don't enjoy a meeting on the Zoom call. Now, I do have a lot of friends, and I get to do this podcast. You know, I get to talk about my shit. I get to put it out there. You know, I get feedback. I get to hear, you know, some people's opinions on my thoughts. But it is a outlet for me. And because sometimes, and I've even said this before, you know, I'll go for a run and I'll put on an old podcast that I've done. Just for one, just to make sure I don't sound like a complete idiot. And, you know, it's weird. You know, I do this podcast. I don't really think, I don't have anything written down. It's probably obvious. I do zero pre-podcast work. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to appear or sound better than I am. But it is an outlet. And I'll go back and listen, and it's a good reminder. You know, I remember early on getting sober, and I went to this. It was summer, and I was at a went to like a an outside bar kind of restaurant along the canal in Lewis, and I was on a date, and we got some. You know, some mixed fruity, you know, not a pina colada, but it was definitely something red. You know, trying to fit in, right? This was early on getting sober. And, you know, still wanting to be a part of, not wanting to be excluded, not wanting to feel like I don't fit in. So I ordered a virgin daiquiri. And I never drink a daiquiri, you know, during my drinking. You know, vodka and grapefruit, vodka cranberry with a splash of pineapple, vodka with whatever I could get in the end. That was basically my evolution of my vodka. And that's only because at some point I decided that drinking beer was wasting my time. And I've heard other people tell me that, so I'm not the only genius out there. But, you know, I wanted to fit in, and I remember getting this daiquiri and for some reason picking it up and taking a big drink off of it and it being loaded with rum. And I spit it out. I think I spit it out. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I spit it out. But I remember calling my sponsor just being like, oh my God. Oh my God, I'm freaking out, you know, and exposing a lot of stuff about me at that moment, you know, the drama and, you know, wanting everybody to believe that I did not want to be drinking. Because in the back of my mind, I thought, if I admitted that I wish I still drank, would that mean that I'm not a very good recovering alcoholic? I think people think that if you're an alcoholic in recovery, that you should hate alcohol. You should hate bars. I'm doing my daughter's hiss because that's what she loves to, that's how she lets me know. But, you know, I should hate the bar and I should hate everybody in the bar and I should hate drinking and I should, you know, and hate. I remember someone telling me, it's not the bar's fault. It's not the fucking alcohol's fault, right? You know, I think if you're early in the recovery, people will make effort to, you know, not drink around you, right? You know, they love going out and drinking, but they'll go out with you that night. That night they're going to go out, it's, you know, a no-drink night. You know, it's a boring night with, when they go out with us. Because we can't be around alcohol, right? Don't even let me see it. I will drink it. Fill my horn. I've seen it. I'm ready to get wasted. And that's not the case. It would be years into the program before I would admit that I actually missed it. You know, alcohol was like one of my best friends. It was my best friend for a long time. It was always there. Got me into some fucking bad predicaments, you know. But getting rid of the alcohol, I would later learn that I was actually responsible for that, not the alcohol. The alcohol did not help, but, you know, I'm not a victim. Can't move forward as long as I'm a victim. And so I would learn a lot of that stuff, but it would be years before I would actually be able to say out loud, I miss drinking. You know, I missed the first four. I missed the first, my wife and I were talking about this yesterday. We were looking at, you know, and she said, that's what I miss is those fruity drinks. You know, the fun summer drinks. You know, the ones that make you look like your life's getting better and umbrellas and yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, but we didn't drink that. Those weren't our drinks. You know? If it was all I could drink, it would definitely have been my drink. But, you know, I chose other drinks. But the point of it was, even to this day, you know, you see a commercial and you still get reminded and you still automatically start putting good times, summer times, you know, outside parties, deck parties, having fun. And I do miss it. I miss drinking. I do miss it. I miss the first four. But it's the last, you know, seven. It's the fucking problem. And I don't miss those. I don't miss those. But the point of it was is that I had to be okay and understand that it's not bad. Right? Like, you can be in a relationship, right, with somebody. And maybe it ends. And, you know, whether you were in love or, you know, you loved parts of it. There were parts of the relationship you didn't like, but you loved parts of it. And then, you know, it ends. Whether it's a good or a bad breakup, but it ends. And then you move on. And, you know. But you probably wouldn't admit to your new girlfriend that you missed your old girlfriend, right? So we're not going to admit that we miss drinking because that would be like blasphemy, right? That would be the opposite of what we're supposed to do. But the reality is that we do miss it. And we had a lot of fun. It's just that, you know, that relationship kept me out late and, you know, said hold my beer a lot and, you know, just whatever. The funny thing is that early on in my drinking, before I was an alcoholic, you know, when I used to just go out with my friends and drink and we would, you know, get a 30-pack and maybe a little Jack and, you know, drink and then just go out and have fun, you know, those were good days, a lot of great memories. We had a lot of fun. It's sitting in my house, drinking vodka and grapefruit by myself, you know. It's where it took me. And I've said this before. I think, you know, whether it's alcohol or drugs, I can't do it, right? But when I came from San Diego, an addict of methamphetamines, I was deep into the meth game. And then moving to Delaware, I really think that I switched my speed abuse for alcohol abuse. You know, because I didn't drink like that before. And then when I gave up that addiction... without, you know, I gave it up through the judicial system, not through, you know, recovery. I switched right over to alcohol. And that's when my alcohol consumption really went out of the through the roof. I think I replaced one with the other, but, you know, it didn't matter. Excuse me. You know, I can't do either. I can't do anything like that. I get crazy. But, like, the point of it was is that, you know, being honest about the fact that whether we miss it or whatever, I think was one of the first steps for me is starting to really discover, you know, serenity. And, you know, I've been dealing with, I talked about it the last few podcasts about this person that drank and, All right, sorry. Had to go talk to a guy in the parking lot. Yeah, so I've been talking about this thing that's been going on, and it just, you know, it's a great reminder for me of how much, you know, it's not just an alcohol problem, right? I mean, the people coming out of the woodwork, defending, shaping, manipulating this whole situation has been insane. And I went for a run yesterday, and, you know, I'd gotten a phone call about something pertaining to this topic, and some suggestions were made to me. I'm like, yeah, sounds all right, whatever. And then I'm out for a run yesterday, and I get a phone call. I thought you said you were going to do this. And I'm like, wait a minute. What the fuck is going on here? How the fuck did I get involved in this shit? You know? I am not going to be all of a sudden the bad guy and getting caught up in some shit because people are under the umbrella of trying to help. We're here to help. We're going to tell you what to do. No, you're not. You know? It's a sick disease. It's a sick disease that it affects people and their families. And unfortunately, for people to either get better, they either have to bail on the families or they all have to do it together. And now you're asking a lot. You know, there's Al-Anon, which is a great program just for that. You know, because families don't understand. Families don't get it. And people don't get it. I mean, the addict doesn't get it. Nobody gets it. You know, it seems very cut and dry. Take out the alcohol, we fix the problem. It's not the answer. And it falls all the way back to finding out that, like, you know, admitting out loud that you still love alcohol, right? Because, you know, everybody be like, I can't. You know, if I said to my family back, you know, when my mom was still alive that I still missed alcohol, they'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you would say that. I'm like, listen, I'm just being honest, you know. Doesn't mean I can drink it. But if I'm that person, it's like, I hate alcohol, you know. It's like, oh, get that. I have to leave the room. If the alcohol's here, I've got to leave the room. It's too much, you know. It's gonna pull me in. I'm going to have to move. Can't be around this alcohol.
Tell ya, there ain't nobody better.
No Good for You. Great song, Tesla. You know, it was great. And I'm, you know, like I said, that I'm kind of at a standstill with that whole thing. I'm here, but you know, I can only do so much, and I've done what all I'm going to do. I said to this person, and I'll say to anybody that's out there listening that's struggling, you know, because the reality is most of us don't really want to get sober. I've said this the other day. I know I didn't. I just got lucky. If you really want to get sober, or if you want to hang out with a sober in the sober world and see if it'll get a little on you and maybe it'll keep you there, you know, call the AA hotline. I could look it up. Nah, fuck it. You look it up. Look it up. AA hotline, depending on where you're at. If you're here in Sussex County, AA hotline in Sussex County, give you the meeting list. Find a meeting. Go. I went last night. They're opening the meetings back up. Go to a meeting. You know, I told this person the other day, I said, if this person, you know, go to 2 weeks worth of meetings and give me a call, I'll know. And I don't mean like I'll get a report. I'll know the conversation, right? It doesn't take but about fucking 10 seconds of having a conversation with somebody to realize whether they're trying to do this or not. You know, I talked to the person yesterday and they're like, I was not drinking that day. And I'm like, okay, you're a fucking liar still. You're still lying. And, you know, good. That's right where you should be. That is right where you should be. Maybe that's a bottom. But call the AA hotline. Find a meeting. Walk in. Raise your hand. I'm a newcomer. My name is, I have this many hours or whatever. I'm looking for a temporary sponsor. Boom. Hands will fucking fly up. I remember when I first got sober, I was so, like, worried about sponsors, right? You know, Ron M. became my temporary sponsor, but, you know, like every good fucking human being, you know, Ron M. all of a sudden wasn't quite good enough for this bottom feeder. And Ron M. would have told you in the beginning of the relationship, I'm not going to be your lifelong sponsor. I'm here to just keep you here. Let me just guide you for a few days. Let me be your temporary sponsor. Figure it out. Learn the lay of the land. And then we'll move forward. And I remember, you know, you come in, you get a little temporary sponsor, you start to feel a part of, just the handshakes and the hellos kept me for a while, right? But you go to enough meetings and you start to hear people talk the talk and walk the walk, and you're like, I like what this person has to say, and, you know, humility starts to leave and self starts to show up, and we start to become picky and choosy. And I remember my second sponsor was Mike R. Hope he's alive. I was thinking about that last night. I wonder if Mike R is alive. I liked what Mike R had to say. I liked his story. I liked his, you know, he had quite a bit of time. He was really a great guy. And so I remember I wanted Mike R to be my sponsor, and I was so concerned about upsetting, you know, our Ron M. And I went up and I said, you know, I asked Mike R, I said, you know, I was wondering if you could be my sponsor. And he goes, sure. He goes, you need to let Ron know that I'm going to be your sponsor. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's hardcore. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. And he's like, Ron M. doesn't care, I promise you. Ron M., all Ron M. cares about is that you have a sponsor. And when I told him, he's like, absolutely, man, he's great. And, you know, getting sober and getting time and drinking and coming back and getting more time and sponsoring people, I could tell you as a sponsor, if you get your feelings hurt that a sponsee leaves you, shame on you. Right? Shame on you. Principles over personalities. The reality is these people need sponsorship. They don't need fucking friendship. They don't need guidance. They just need someone to share their story. I guess a little guidance, right? But, you know, getting upset that you are getting left for a new sponsor, you know, that's not great guidance. You should be like, absolutely. Thank you so much. Because in the end, when you get asked to be a sponsor, they're helping you, right? Now you got to come, right? Now you got to read the steps with somebody. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, keeping ourselves involved. So, you know, get a sponsor, go to a fucking meeting, raise your hand, say, I'm looking for a temporary sponsor, have the fucking balls, have the humility to say, I need a temporary sponsor. You know, I've talked about like going to New York. It's better to go to New York City with someone that's from the city, right? If you're going to go to a meeting, you might as well hook up with somebody that's got some time in the meetings. But make sure you use the word temporary, because there's a lot of fucking up jobs out there. And, you know, some people, it's their new job, right? Their new title. Dun, 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 I'm a sponsor. I'm going to save the world. And it's like, dude, chill. And if you're a woman, find a woman. If you're a man, find a man. If at some point you think the opposite sex is a good idea for sponsorship, you're wrong. And honestly, you know, I don't know if this is controversial but I don't understand, you know, and we have a lot of people and, you know, that are gay and all this different things, and which is, you know, is fine. But I'm not sure, because I think part of the reason why, obviously as a guy, you don't want a woman as a sponsor, because you may, you know, not always, but you might get some feelings, right? All of a sudden, you know, you're coming out of this fucking place, and whether it's if you're a woman and you meet you shouldn't have a man sponsor, and if you're a guy, you shouldn't have a woman sponsor, because, you know, you're coming out of this dark place, and all of a sudden there's an angel kind of put into your life, and, you know, feelings could arise. And, you know, ideally, you don't want feelings driving a person back out. Right? It wouldn't be the first time that someone has had feelings for someone, a newcomer, right? I always, when a woman comes into the program, I steer clear. There's plenty of women in there to help her. I don't need to be the guy helping her. So if you're a woman, find a nice woman sponsor. If you are a man, find a man sponsor. And, you know, I don't know, the gay thing, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure if there is a rule. I know that, and this is, you know, I guess this is for somebody else to decide, but be careful. You know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation where you're going to have feelings, and feelings are going to get hurt, and, you know, you're going to break up with your sponsor because of that. You don't want to find yourself outside in the cold again. So find a nice, safe place, get a nice sponsor, temporary, right? And just start fucking doing what they ask of you. Go to a meeting. You need to be at a meeting every day. You know, raise your hand. My sponsor used to say you get 1 second for every day you have, right? So, you know, after the end of, what is it? After the end of a month, you get 30 seconds. But, you know, don't feel like you have to share either, right? Because all of a sudden, people feel like they have to share. And which is fine. You can share, I guess, but you know, I was told, keep my mouth shut, take the cotton out of my ears and put it in my fucking mouth and shut up for a year. And I was like, absolutely, because I did not want to talk. I'm not talking. Kept my mouth shut, and I just listened. And I listened to the people talk. And you start to kind of understand, you're like, wow, this person's really talking a lot. Probably not a good idea, you know? Hey, good morning, my name is Tom. You know, I'm struggling. I went to that meeting last night. Thank God. Took my daughter. It's so fucking good to be back at a meeting. Thank you, meeting, for being there. And it's a 12 and 12. We read the steps. And basically a step, I think, a night. And we read in the second half of the 12th step last night. Just fucking, you know, it's just so amazing, that book. And to be there, and I shared, and you know, and I just shared that, you know, because the guy that was talking was, you know, talked about the struggle that he's had with this, with getting sober, and how he used to come to this meeting and, you know, maybe he would drink and, but he would sit in the back with the anxiety. I relate. You know, I can relate. I wasn't drinking, but the anxiety, are they going to call on me? We used to do these meetings where they just called on people, and I'd be like, oh, fuck, don't call on me. Oh, fuck, don't call on me. Just fucking petrified. Oh, God. And but he shared about that anxiety, and I said, you know, thank you for sharing that. And he talked about struggling with patience, and I've shared in this podcast, I struggle with patience, especially on the road. I get fucking really out of my mind. And people made suggestions, you know, about what they do to try to prepare, you know, and I even made a suggestion, you know, here's a good one, leave early, right? Leave early. So it was just really good. Very grateful. You know, but you start hearing how the people talk and you start to kind of get an idea. And, but when you start getting that idea, it's nice to run those thoughts by somebody, a temporary sponsor. And, so the point of that was, is that, you know, I'll know, if you're doing what you should be doing, I'll know in a couple weeks. I'll hear it in your voice. And let's see. Let's read the Daily Reflections. See what's going on in the Daily Reflections world. Oh, here we go. Okay. What is today? Oh, yeah. June 15th. Making AA your higher power. That's a great suggestion. I like that. You can make AA itself your higher power. Here's a very large group of people who have solved their alcohol problem. Many members have crossed their threshold just this way. Their faith broadened and deepened. Transformed, they came to believe in a higher power. And that's kind of what I was... It's kind of what I was meaning. That was the point of what I was saying was, you know, start to feel the vibration, the energy of the group, right? That's another thing. Get a home group, right? Find a meeting. Don't make your favorite meeting. Just get a home group, something that you can be held responsible, accountable to the group. You know, you can take a commitment. You know, I wouldn't set up front. I would, you know, but you can make coffee. You can be a greeter. Be accountable to a group. Get yourself a home group. All right. No one was greater than I, at least in my eyes. When I was drinking, nevertheless, I couldn't smile at myself in the mirror. So I came to AA where with others, I heard talk of a higher power. I couldn't accept the concept of a higher power because I believed God was cruel and unloving. In desperation, I chose a table, a tree, then my AA group as my higher power. Time passed, my life improved, and I began to wonder about the higher power. Gradually, with patience, humility, and a lot of questions, I came to believe in God. Now my relationship with my higher power gives me the strength to live a happy, sober life. Yeah, I think that's an awesome, awesome suggestion. You know, get a group. You know, get your group. You know, like I said, I'll talk to this person on the phone in a couple weeks. I will know. If you're part of a home group and you're accountable to a group, your group will know because they start to watch us. You know, hey, welcome back. It's good to see you. You know, and then they start, let's get you an anniversary date. You know, when are we going to call your anniversary date? You put it in a book, you know, and then you get that 30-day coin. The group gives it to you. It's a fucking big deal. And it's not just a big deal to you, all right? So fucking stop that. It's a big deal to the first person that comes in that sets down and sees you get 30 days. You inspire people. We help one another. We help one another. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you later.